Wonderful to have you with us. I'm Larry Mantle. This is Air Talk. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk with UC Irvine election law specialist Rick Hassan, who has a new book out, Election Meltdown, Dirty Tricks, Distrust, and the Threat to American Democracy. We'll also have the very latest from New Hampshire, where the first of the presidential primaries is taking place just 8 days after the Iowa caucuses and the vote counting fiasco there. But first, let's take a look at Southern California housing. What's going on with accessibility? We know mortgage interest rates are quite low, and that's certainly good for people looking to buy. But what about prices, and what about inventory? With us, housing policy expert Richard Green, who directs USC's Lusk Center for Real Estate. Richard, it's good to have you with us again. We appreciate it very much. Let's start first of all with what effect these low mortgage interest rates are having.
Well, it probably is the thing that determines whether some people can actually get in the market and some can't. So if you look at demand for housing sort of stays the same, but the people who are eligible to get a mortgage differs. So if mortgage rates are 4.5%, people can afford houses that are about 88%, 87% the price of if they're 3.5%. So that 1 percentage point change in mortgages basically makes a lot more people eligible to buy a house at standard underwriting criteria. And so clearly that's got to have an impact here.
And what about eligibility for loans? Where are we at versus historical access to loans?
Well, it's harder to get a loan now than it used to be. And the main thing is what lenders are doing is pricing loans based on characteristics. And so it used to be if you had 20% down on a house and reasonably good income, reasonably good credit, the cost you would pay that for that mortgage would be the same. Now, what happens is as your credit rating improves, the mortgage rate you will pay will fall. And so for people at the best kind of credit, their ability to get a loan at a good price is the best it's ever been. But as soon as you go down the credit spectrum, to the point where if you have a FICO score of less than 720, which is a pretty good credit score, it's going to be more expensive for you to get a mortgage, which of course means, again, your eligibility to buy a mortgage is limited. And so the folks at the Urban Institute estimate that nationally there are about 1 million missing mortgages a year, which is to say if you go back to the way things were long before the subprime crisis and had those standards apply now, we would see about 1 million more mortgages originated a year than we actually do.
All right. And do we know what percentage of borrowers actually put down 20%?
It is less than it used to be. And in fact, loan-to-value ratios have risen since the end of the crisis, which is to say people are putting down smaller down payments. But it also varies a lot geographically. You see it a lot more often in the middle of the country than you do here in California.
Richard Green of USC's Lusk Center for Real Estate joining us. He was also senior advisor at Housing and Urban Development in the Obama administration. Economist Christopher Thornburg regularly joins us as well, founding partner of Beacon Economics. Chris, good morning. Your sense of where we're at in terms of mortgages, how they're playing into home sales.
Well, I think I completely agree with much of what we just heard from Richard. I mean, look, a year ago, there were a lot of people who worried about the health of the market, right? And people were upset because you saw sales going down, which, of course, tends to be a sign of a slowdown, maybe for multiple years. But we have to remember, at the beginning of 2019, the stock market was down 20%, interest rates were gone to a relatively high level at the end of 2018. And so now you're seeing that market reinvigorated. Now, to be clear, as Richard said, a lot of the same blockages in terms of borrowing money are keeping a lot of folks out. Now, there's some silver linings. One of the reasons why this is going to be one of the healthiest housing runs ever in the U.S. economy is the lack of borrowers has created one of the healthiest credit markets we've ever seen. You're talking about a decade with a median credit score of a mortgage borrower is above 750, which is incredibly high. But I would say the one bit of good news when with all the people actually being kept out of the market for years and years, largely because of Dodd-Frank's, is we are actually starting to see homeownership rates rise. It's still small. We're still at the very beginning of it, but they're up close to a percentage point, which, you know, relative to a decade of decline, that's good news. You are starting to see millennials jump into the housing market. So there are some shifts. There are some positive signs, but the limitations on credit are going to keep this what I would call a slow and ultimately steady housing market.
And inventory still seems to be an issue, at least certain segments of the market. Chris, what's your sense about the availability of homes to purchase?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great point. And by the way, it's interesting because obviously the inventory issue is acute in California, but it really is a national thing. It's interestingly enough, if you look at the history of sort of the U.S. housing markets, right now we have a record low percentage of units for sale for rent. So it's a very tight market across the United States, low mobility, not a lot of new inventory. But of course, here in California, it's insanely tight. And it's only going to get worse because over the course of the last year, with a little bit of a mini housing panic, you've actually seen a slowdown in new housing investment in the state of California. So it's not a good sign for those worried about affordability in the state.
What are you referring to with the housing panic? What's that about?
Just everybody was very worried over the course of the last year. I mean, look, we've been dealing with 12 months nationally of nonstop calls of the end of this expansion, right? How many folks have gotten on the air and said, oh, this is it, inverted yield curves, this expansion's gone too long, and calling for recessions? Well, housing is an extremely cyclical industry, and everybody in the housing space is very scared about the next downturn. They don't want to get caught in that mess the way they did in 2007 and 8. So even rumors of a downturn, no matter how wrong they were enough to slow housing permits down. So you've actually seen a pretty, I wouldn't call it a sharp decrease in permits, but substantive in 2019 relative to 2018. And of course, you know, you're talking about moving in the opposite direction of what the governor wants. You know, not only are we nowhere near 3.4 million units in 10 years, we're actually moving in the wrong direction from that goal.
Once boomers start dying off, I'm one of them, so I can say that. Once we start dying off, what sort of effect is that going to have on inventory and availability, even though that may be many, many years from now?
Well, first of all, boomers aren't going to die off. This generation has
I'm glad to hear that.
they're not going out quietly.
Thank you, Chris.
Look, over the next 20 years, there's going to be 41 million more Americans, and 29 million of them are going to be 65 plus. The reality is demand for housings for seniors will be by far and away the biggest growth margin in the U.S. housing market. It's as simple as that. And the few that may die off at the upper end of that age distribution are going to be more than made up for by ranks of new retirees moving in behind them. You know, ultimately, here in California, I am worried because you look at places like Orange County, which aren't building their housing stock anywhere close to enough to support current economic growth. And then you realize you're going to have a bunch of people dropping out of the labor force, but probably not moving out of their house in Newport Beach. And you realize the labor supply crunch that California is dealing with is going to become very acute unless we do something about expanding supply.
Christopher Thornburg, economist, founding partner of Beacon Economics, with us. Richard Green, director of USC's Lusk Center for Real Estate. If you have questions for our experts, our lines are open for you at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Richard, with the squeeze on inventory, one of the things that I'm seeing in some of the higher-end areas is routinely homes selling for above asking. How long is this going to last?
So, well, has come down a little bit. So, according to Zillow, it's now the case that only a quarter of houses in California are getting above asking price, quote unquote, only.
I was going to say that's still pretty high.
So it is going down. You know, the other interesting thing, Larry, is you are seeing different dynamics in different parts of the housing market. So if you look at what house prices have done here in Southern California, the place where prices have risen most rapidly and where inventory is tightest is actually the lowest third of the market. And the upper third of the market over the course of the last year has been just a tiny bit weak relative to the rest. I mean, it's still strong, but relative to the rest of the market. So it's actually in markets around here, sort of a, what I'll call the $400,000 or $500,000 market, that the inventory is incredibly tight, and you are seeing houses sell above listing price. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it does seem to be the nine-figure houses around here, the ones that can't get their asking prices.
All right. And what's happening with the Inland Empire, which has had more affordable housing, more construction that's gone on? We've seen much shift there over the past year or so?
So, I mean, we have. I mean, one of the things you've seen is continuing migration from the western part of the region to the eastern part of the region. And in fact, the house price performance has been the strongest for the region in the Inland Empire. And the thing that I find worrying, and I think Chris would agree with me on this, is it used to be the Inland Empire was a place that would provide supply to meet that demand, and it's not doing that anymore either. And so as a result of that, there's sort of no place to go. And so what you are seeing is lots of migration to Phoenix and Las Vegas, which you could kind of look at almost people from those cities probably won't like this, extensions of the Inland Empire. That's the next place people are going. And house prices are even going up there. So this is getting pushed out 500-600 miles. I guess that's not quite that far. What is Phoenix? 350 miles.
Yeah, around 350.
Yeah.
Chris in Irvine, you're on Air Talk.
Hi. My concern is that you kind of touched on it a few minutes ago, but as the generation now, the boomers, start retiring, and they've raised these large families and these big houses, 4,000, 5,000 square feet in the suburbs, as they start retiring and the family has moved out and they need to sell these houses in droves, where will the next generation of home buyers be to afford these high prices? I don't see the millennials being able to spend $2, $3 million for houses that are just up and down the California, Southern California coast.
Yeah, Chris Thornburg, what do you think of Chris's comment there?
Well, first of all, they're not going to sell them. They're going to give them to their kids. So remember, what we're talking about here when these boomers die is a massive intergenerational transfer of wealth, right? So, you know, it's just going to go to those kids. So in a very real sense, this millennial generation is probably more likely to inherit their wealth than earn it, as the case may be. And that has a lot to do with the factors that have increased wealth inequality, which is a completely separate conversation for a different day. But yeah, now they're just going to give them to their kids, and the kids will move in there. So if you're fortunate to be the next generation, you wait and you'll have your house in Newport Beach.
Well, and some of those kids are actually living in those homes now, right? in their old bedroom in many cases.
Yes, indeed. If you're just waiting it out.
All right. Lorene in Santa Monica, what do you say to seniors who would be willing to move out of their homes, but the value getting a new place isn't a good financial deal? Richard Green?
So one of the things that I think really sludges up our housing market is Proposition 13. So if you've lived in your house in Southern California for 30, 40 years, you're paying very little in the way of property taxes. And so if you decide to cash in and move somewhere else, you know, you might take your money to, again, Phoenix or Oregon or places where the housing market is less expensive in general. What you're going to wind up finding is you're going to pay much higher property taxes. And once you're retired, you probably don't want to do that. And so that is one of the things that I think is keeping housing from turning over. But, you know, again, this is a national phenomenon. Is a student of mine named Lena Zhu has writing about this in her dissertation, and people are just staying in their houses in general much, much, much longer than they used to.
Talk with Russell in Calabasas. Russell, your question, please.
I had a twofold question. One of them is that since the market for $500,000 homes are very tight and they're being sold at higher than the asking price, would it be a better investment to go over and to look for homes that are more expensive, say $1 million or higher in the long run? And the second part of the question is that those homes most likely are going to be in places that are more affluent, where jobs are going to be less. And taking that into consideration, would it still be a good idea?
All right, Russell, thanks. Chris Thornburg?
Well, I didn't catch all of that, but I'll tell you, at least in terms of the investment possibilities, Richard said it before, right now in LA and in indeed much of Southern California, the top end of the market, those big houses are oversupplied. A lot of folks have gone in. They saw the possibilities in this undersupplied market. But unfortunately, there's only so many $4 million houses out there, $3 million houses that can be bought. So with overall lack of building, with smaller units being taken off and turned into bigger units, it's really that low end of the market that's incredibly tight right now. And what that tends to suggest is that will be the part of the market that will see the biggest rate of price increases. So I think being more at that entry level is probably a better investment in the long run.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. Good to talk with you as always. Chris Thornburg, Beacon Economics. Richard Green, USC Lusk Center for Real Estate. He's the director of Lusk. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about the continuing challenge of increasing the numbers of women in firefighting. The city of LA had a goal of 5% women firefighters by this point, and they're well off of that pace. But LA is not alone in finding this a challenge. We'll talk with two women who are professional firefighters who know about the business, what's going on, and what some of those challenges are. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.